NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by Plymouth, where the win you over beat goes on. Here's Dean Mell.
The Cuban Communist Party has purged 11 top party members for opposing Fidel Castro's guerrilla warfare policies and has arrested an alleged anti-party group accused of plotting against the Castro government. A broadcast from Radio Havana said the purge eliminated those who opposed Castro's plans for guerrilla warfare in other Latin American countries, plans which the Soviet Union opposed. The Cuban Communist Party also announced the arrest of an anti-party group whose members allegedly plotted with the CIA against Premier Castro. American troops guarding the truce line separating North and South Korea beat off three infiltration attempts from the North, and the buffer zone is reported quiet now. Two Russian vessels are said to be trailing an American naval task force heading for the Sea of Japan to join the nuclear carrier Enterprise off the coast of South Korea. Communist China publicly supported North Korea's seizure of the Pueblo and its 83 American crewmen, but the Chinese communists did not indicate any plans to intervene in the situation. North Korea's vice president, Kang Liang, said the American crewmen will be severely punished, but he didn't say how. Liang spoke to reporters in Damascus during his visit to the Middle East. A variety of diplomatic efforts to settle the Pueblo incident are continuing both at the United Nations and elsewhere. Members of the Security Council are in consultation with their home governments and each other over proposals to send a UN fact finder to Korea or to invite North Korea to send a representative to the UN. The Security Council will resume normal deliberations tomorrow afternoon, and NBC Radio and Television will provide comprehensive coverage as developments warrant. More news after this message from Plymouth.
Hello, this is Petula Clark, and I really think I've discovered something sort of nice. If England swings like a pendulum, America moves to a beat. The Plymouth Win You Over beat.
Especially right now, Pat, during the Plymouth Dealer's second annual Win You Over sale. It's smashing.
Plymouth is stepping up and going great. Plymouth has the style, performance too.
The great 68s have led Plymouth to the best calendar year in the division's history. Get the Plymouth success story firsthand. Try one. Once again, Dean Mell.
North Vietnam has promised to release three American airmen as a humanitarian gesture during the Lunar New Year. They are Ensign David Paul Matheny of Indiana, Major Norris Miller Overly of West Virginia, and Captain John David Black. NBC News reporter Bill Fitzgerald talked to Captain Black's wife in Laredo, Texas.
How did you get the word about your husband's release?
The government called me this morning. I received it from the casualty officer.
And were you surprised and very happy, I presume?
Oh, yes, I was. I've been through a lot, and you worry and you wonder what's happened to him. And now I'm just delighted, and I hope that many others will be released, too.
Did you have any idea where he had been?
No, I have no idea.
Did you know he had been captured?
Yes.
What?
Yes, we've been told that.
Do you expect him back home soon?
We just don't know. We really don't know. This is all the information we have received is that they will release the three pilots, and we don't know when.
A U.S. Marine patrol encountered an enemy entrenchment just a mile from American artillery positions defending Khe Sanh. During the two-and-a-half-hour fight, 151 Vietnamese and 19 U.S. Marines were killed. More in a moment.
Here's one of the 101 perfect strangers who's taste-tested a new 101. The filter cigarette, a silly millimeter longer than the 100.
Make it fast. Time is money.
You're an accountant.
No, a clockmaker. And I think you're kidding about that extra millimeter in case you're interested.
How about the taste?
I think you're serious about that. I don't blame you. It does taste one better.
A silly millimeter longer. 101. A silly millimeter longer. 101.
The 101. It tastes one better.
I don't need to get wound up about it.
The Pentagon says fragments from all four hydrogen bombs lost in the B-52 crash at Thule, Greenland, have been recovered. The parts were identified by serial numbers, which indicated that the bombs came apart on impact and did not melt through the ice and sink. the search will continue for the remaining bomb pieces. A series of avalanches in Australia and Switzerland have killed at least 28 persons during a weekend of warming temperatures, which followed new snowstorms in the area. Again, the top story, the Cuban Communist Party has purged 11 top party members for opposing Fidel Castro's guerrilla warfare policies and has arrested an alleged anti-party group accused of plotting against the Castro government. Dean Mell, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour when 101 brings you NBC Monitor News.
Don't move, just leave your dialogue. Here's Monitor. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's Monitor.
This is Kurt Gowdy sitting in for Henry Morgan, who's winter vacationing in Puerto Rico, lucky hombre. And our guest in about 3 minutes, Henry Fonda. Right now, a group known as the Strawberry Street Singers with Music of the World A-Turning.
Sunday, a national shrine reopened to the theater, Ford's Theater in Washington, where President Lincoln was assassinated, came to life again. And on this coming Tuesday evening, some of America's best-known performing artists will participate in the first stage presentation there since 1865. Henry Fonda will appear in that production with Helen Hayes, Frederick March, and Robert Ryan. It's been a long time since Mr. Fonda was our guest here on Monitor. In this interview with NBC drama critic Leonard Probst, he talks about the theater and some aspects of his personal life.
The last thing you did on Broadway was you played the father in Generation,
right,
in which you were a father who was caught in the generation gap. And it seemed to me, watching you on opening night, that one reason why the play worked as well as it did, and I thought it worked quite well, was because you understood the problems of a father facing a generation gap. Do you think you've been a good father? You've got two very famous children.
I would not be the one to answer that question. I think you'd have to ask my kids. I have communication with both of them. We have a very good relationship. And being a father in the business that I'm in and having kids grow up wanting to go into the same business, I was aware that if they did make it,
they would want to feel that they made it on their own. So I let them go. I didn't discourage them or encourage them one way or another. If they came to me with problems or questions, certainly I was always available. Mr. Fonda, a recent book, which has been called Pornographic, is said to be in some way patterned after certain members of the Fonda family. What do you do when something like this happens? You're on the spot. Do you ignore it? Do you punch the author in the nose or advise people not to read it? What happens? I used to get very upset about it, but I've been advised by people who know the best, I guess, that you just better forget about it. There's nothing you can do. You just get more bad publicity, keeping it alive the papers with threatened suits or suits. And if you sue and win, you don't really win. I used to get absolutely frantic about it, but I've been persuaded that just try to let it flow off and not, and I've sort of got to be able to do that.
One final thing. I noticed that in talking about things that have happened before in reference to you that probably quite rightfully, you're very concerned with being precise and accurate as to what's been said either about you or by you or quoting. Do you find that you are often, if not misquoted, at least the intent of what you have to say on a certain subject has been distorted?
I got burnt when I first went to California, went to pictures in 1935, 32, 33 years ago. In those days, fan magazines were not what they are today, but there were more of them, and there were fan magazine writers were all over the place, and I didn't know any better, and I was asked to have an interview with a lady whose name I've forgotten. Anyway, her questions were so appalling to me that I said, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that, you know. And so the interview ended, but she wrote a story anyway in which that she made up a great deal and took from the files that she could find and put things out of context and made up a lot of romantic type things. And it was such an awful, and on top of that, wrote it with my byline. You know, my love story by Henry Fonda. And, you know, this was just a little too much for me, and I haven't had a fan magazine interview since, and that was in 1935.
Henry Fonda, about whom it's safe to say that his career has been enduring in spite of his aversion to fan magazine publicity. He was interviewed by Monitor's man on the aisle, Leonard Probst.
Play now, pay later. The RCA way.
From RCA, number one in home entertainment, come number one for the money specials. Special introductions of brand new color TV with big 23-inch diagonal screen. Number one for the money specials. Brand new stereo consoles. Big stereo sound in beautiful cabinet styles. Also, brand new black and white TV. Portable stereo and radios. So play now, pay later. The RCA way.
Play now, pay later. The RCA way.
Get a number one for the money special at participating RCA dealers now.
This popular ballad sung for you by Joanna Moore.
By the time you got to Phoenix, I was riding. I read the note you left hanging on my door. Once again, I read the words that said you're leaving, but you left me sometimes. By the time I was working, and at lunch, your best friend gave me a call.
you need a map to keep up with that one. But you know what? We cover all the compass points. And wherever you are, you're traveling on the trusty monitor beacon.
Nationwide, it's NBC.
And to be more specific, nationwide, it's Monitor for 68 every weekend in the year. In the words of a very wise fellow who's been around for almost 68 years, no time is a good goodbye time. The fella, Louis Satchmo Armstrong.
No time is a good goodbye time. No time is the time to go. If I didn't just love you, so but I'm a no time is a good goodbye time. I'll smile, but that is will show. I wanna stay with you, and so I know.
To eat too well because you get acid indigestion, heartburn, gas? If you take plain antacid tablets but don't get the relief you want, listen to this. Your plain antacid doesn't have the extra ingredient you may need. That's why you should know about Digel. Digel contains simethicone, the extra ingredient that helps Digel break up uncomfortable stomach gas. Then the antacids in Digel neutralize excess acid easily. So since Digel gives you two kinds of relief, you feel better fast. D-I-G-E-L. Digel. Tablets or liquid. At all drug counters. When someone in your family has a minor cut or scrape, stop the pain with Solarcaine. More effective than ordinary first aids that have no pain-killing ingredients. Solarcaine contains benzocaine, medication used by doctors. Stop skin pain with Solarcaine. Cream, lotion, or spray.
In one moment, Boston Red Sox pitching star Jim Lombard. Monitor Sports is brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company.
This is Al Cap for the defense of the roller skate. All roller skates aren't bad. There are good skates, you know. But it's always the roller skate that massacres the mailman or sends the meter reader reeling. What about the garden hose? What about the dog that wakes up biting? Well, whether it's the roller skate or the garden hose, your best protection is a homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, in case the mailman or the meter reader want to meet you again in court. It'll protect your house and your possessions, too, in case of fire and theft and other such nastiness, and all at one low package price. Good idea? Then phone your State Farm agent about his homeowner's policy right now and watch out for that blasted roller skate in the hall.
For your home and your car and your life.
State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Last December 24th, pitcher Jim Lomborg of the American League champion Boston Red Sox severely injured his leg in a skiing accident and required surgery. Today, Lomborg is well on the road to recovery. A report from Monitor's Joe Hyder.
Joe Hyder recording for NBC Monitor Sports. Jim, the word from the doctor is favorable at this point, I would say. What do you think?
I'm really happy with it, Joe. We've got a new cast on now, a tighter cast. I lost quite a bit of muscle in my leg due to atrophy and lack of movement. But the doctor's going to change the cast around the 22nd of February, and I'll be out of it then and be heading down for spring training about 4 days later after I have a little bit of rehabilitation up there.
Well, he feels the knee is going to be as good as ever, doesn't he?
Very much so. I'm sure that he's very happy with the operation, and I know that he's really happy the fact that I'm able to move around a little here in Boston on my crutches, and the fact that I've got no pain whatsoever in the knee, and that I'm able to do exercises and lift the leg without any pain.
Have you been taking a lot of ribbing since the accident?
Quite a bit. A lot of the local people around town here will see me get out of my car or something and ask me if I got some skis around or whether I'm going skiing or stuff. But I got enough that 1 week after I heard it to take care of me for the rest of the year.
It isn't going to stop you from going back to skiing, is it?
Well, I'm not too sure about that. I'm going to have to wait and see what Dick O'Connell has to say about it when we get into the season, and I'm going to have to wait and see how the leg really comes around.
Speaking about what people are saying, Jim, I wonder if you've seen the reports that Frank Robinson says the Sox won't repeat in 1968.
I just did read it, and I think that he's probably got a little bit of fallacy in what he says that we won't repeat. I think the fact that all the kids on our ball club got a chance to take a look at a championship season and play in a World Series is going to mature them into good, consistent Major League ball players, and it's going to be this kind of maturity that's going to enable us to probably win the pennant for a lot of years on.
What about the remark that the injury to your knee isn't going to help the Red Sox at all?
Well, I think that this is probably just a speculation on his part. I expect to be pitching full-time around the 1st of May, and this means I miss maybe four starts. And I think with the trades we made, getting Cope and Ellsworth, and the fact that some of our other kids are going to pick up the slack, that my being out of the lineup that first part of the month isn't going to hurt our chances to repeat as American League champions.
You'll notice now that Robinson says that Baltimore, Minnesota, and Chicago will be finishing in that order, the first division in 68.
Right, he doesn't. I don't see how he can even count us out of it, because I know that we beat them pretty soundly a lot of times last year, and I think the fact that we were up there for all year long, especially after the All-Star break, meant that we are a first division team, and we are in contention for the pennant from here.
You boys are going to be hungry, in other words.
Very much so. The guys know what it's like to win now.
Jim, thank you very much, and I wish you have a very successful season again in 1968 with the Red Sox.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe Hyder in Boston with Jim Lomborg of the American League champs, the Boston Red Sox, for Monitor Sports.
Keep up with all that's going on in the world of sports by keeping your dial set throughout the weekend for Monitor. Lover's Concerto by a group known as the Hutch Davy Convention, a contemporary sound in music which you hear all the time on monitor all over America. In central Oklahoma, for example, folks are tuned to KOCY, Quality Radio in Oklahoma City. My name, Kurt Gowdy. Back with you after a very short break.
This is Julia Child. I'll be talking to you about cooking and other things from the south of France on Monitor later on today.
Finally, I am here, India. I am the mountains of Kashmir. I have journeyed across the world to find wise man Heshi Yogi and the secret of happiness.
My son, for what do you search?
Tell me, wise Heshi, the secret of happiness.
Love, peace, flowers, Wetsons.
You mean like Wetsons Hamburger Restaurant?
Oh yes, Wetsons, where the sun always shines.
Wetsons? Will they serve those great hamburgers, chicken, fish, french fries, and shakes?
After all, you can't eat flowers. Wetsons is a taste of happiness on a bun.
And there's a Wetsons Hamburger Restaurant near you.
WNBC News will present a comprehensive special report on a possible transportation crisis stemming from the strike of garage attendants in New York and the strike against the intercity bus company in New Jersey. That's this afternoon at 5:30 on WNBC New York.
The Letterman here with a medley of tunes delivered special. Can't Take My Eyes Off You and Going Out of My Head.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head over you, over you. I want you to want me. I need you so badly, I can't think of anything but you. Just
bye. That's right, wherever you are, monitors with you. Hi, I'm Kurt Gowdy. What do psychologists say about the mother who has a job? Does her working outside the home have an adverse effect on her children? In a couple of minutes or so, Dr. Joyce Brothers will report on that. Meantime, here's music by the Anita Kerr Singers.
Who's taste-tested a new 101. The filter cigarette 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds. Mrs. Glockenspiel.
It's Miss, but I haven't given up. Are you married?
What do you think of our 101 cigarette?
It's cute.
No, I mean the taste.
I'd like them even if they weren't 1 millimeter longer. You don't look married.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
The 101. It tastes one better.
We even smoke the same brand of cigarettes.
Does it pay to send the little woman out to work? Not always, says the National Consumer Finance Association. Sometimes it costs more than she earns.
That was Dr. Joyce Brothers, who will go into further detail about the question that concerns many families.
When wives take a job, family spending goes up, the consumer organization found. It may even double. Stay-at-home wives tend to operate on tight budgets. Take advantage of sales, darn socks, and patched blue jeans. Working wives shop in a hurry at stores that are convenient rather than inexpensive. They buy more costly prepared foods and more clothes for themselves. And they don't stint on luxuries like furniture and knickknacks for the house, alcohol, tobacco, recreation, and vacations. When the two-income couple balances it all up at the end of the year, they may find that they are little or no better off than the one-income couple next door. Yet once the wife has joined the labor force, the statisticians say she tends to stay there. And every year, some 750,000 women make the decision to forsake occupation housewife for a job or a career. This increase in the number of working wives has caused some alarm among those who remember the studies that once showed that children suffered when mothers were employed. Psychologists have been busily re-examining this evidence and conducting new research in an effort to determine what the new trend will do to families. their investigations are reassuring. Many of the old studies made no distinction between mothers who worked from choice and mothers who worked from necessity because their husband was unemployed, unemployable, or had deserted. It was the children from these broken homes who presented the emotional and delinquency problems, says psychologist Dr. Lois Meek-Stoltz of Stanford University. New studies of seriously disturbed children from non-broken homes find that there are just as many from families in which the mother is a full-time homemaker. Interpreting the new studies in depth, it seems that whether or not the mother works outside the home is not as important as whether or not she is happy with her lot. Psychiatrist Dr. David Levy has found that mothers who sacrifice strong career ambitions for the sake of their children often sacrifice the children in turn to maternal overprotection. A similar warping may take place if the woman who really wants to be a full-time mother is forced to work at a job that she finds unrewarding except financially. It makes sense, it seems, to tote up more than dollars and cents when deciding whether or not the housewife should change her occupation. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
Dr. Brothers is featured regularly on Monitor. Weekdays, she's heard on the NBC Radio Emphasis series.
From RCA, number one in home entertainment, come number one for the money specials. Special introductions of brand new color TV and stereo. So play now, pay later. The RCA way.
Play now, pay later. The RCA way.
At your participating RCA dealer now.
Brooke Benton's latest ballad.
Funny how you changed. It makes me wonder, have I ever really known you? How could you abuse and use the kindness and tenderness I've shown you? If I'd have known, then I'd have shown the strength on which my love could make a stand. But you've mistaken tenderness and kindness for the weakness in a man. Golden bear.
Bob, where there's golf, there's hope. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Bob talking about the Hope Desert Classic. So
stay right here on NBC.
Where we take a short time out for all of our stations on the Monitor Beacon. Say, if any of you sports fans have any doubts about Mexico City being a swinging place to hold the Olympics, let me tell you about something that happened down there recently. The Boy Scout headquarters decided to celebrate the birthday of the founder of Scouting, a man who happened to have been a teetotaler. So what do? They threw a cocktail party. And what's so rare as a woman who'll admit she's wrong? Why, this lady who's Edie Gourmet.
I trusted him, believed in him. I saw the love of my life. It seemed so right.
One moment, Bob Hope discusses his golf tournament. Monitor Sports is brought to you by your Lincoln Mercury dealer, home of Better Idea Cars, from the makers of Lincoln Continental.
That's a pretty car.
What, the blue one? Yeah, honey, I know it's pretty, but it looks a little expensive.
Oh, pardon me, sir, and madam, I couldn't help overhearing.
That's a pretty car.
Yes, but you just made a terrible mistake, sir.
Really?
You said that's an expensive car. Uh-huh. Actually, it's Mercury's newest, lowest-priced luxury car.
You're kidding.
No, it's built with a fine car touch by the same people who make the Lincoln Continental.
Hmm. That's a pretty car.
Well, what kind is it?
It's a new Mercury, M-O-N-T-E-G-O.
Montego.
No, that's another mistake, sir. Actually, it's Montego.
Oh, that's why you spelled it, huh?
Yes, that's why I spelled it. I didn't want to make any mistakes.
Mercury Montego.
Well, whatever you want to say.
Built by the makers of the Lincoln Continental.
That's a pretty car.
Yes, yes. It combines cougar excitement with full six-passenger comfort.
I'll take one.
Okay, sir. May I have your name, please?
Gregory.
Gregory.
S-M-I-T-H.
Smith.
No, actually, it's Smythe. A lot of people make that mistake, though.
That's a pretty car.
Mercury Montego's got it. The fine car touch. Get it at your Mercury dealers now.
Next weekend, Monitor will provide on-the-spot reports of the Bob Hope Desert Classic at Palm Springs, California. Here's Hope now, discussing his tournament with Monitor's Bob Goggin.
Bob, how many golf courses will be in the tournament this year, and what kind of shape are they in?
There are five golf courses, Tamarisk and El Dorado, Bermuda Dunes, La Quinta, and Indian Wells. And, they all kind of point for this tournament, and so they'll all be in the best possible shape, I'm sure.
Are you going to allow Bing Crosby to play in your clam bake this year?
Under what guise? What would he play as? I'd like to get Bing down, but I think he'll be resting from his tournament because he's quite an announcer, and the golf analyst. And I invited Bing, but I'm mad he's resting because we got to go and play that big USO show at the Garden the next week.
How many amateurs do you expect to have, and what kind of names will be down for the tournament this year, Bob?
We have 408 amateurs, including the celebrities. And we got a great, great group of celebrities, Andy Williams and Don Adams and Bolger and Garner and the usual group, marvelous. They do a great job.
Bing had unusually good weather for his tournament up at Pebble Beach this year. What kind of weather can we expect in Palm Springs?
Well, you never know. It can be gorgeous and all at once up pops the devil. But usually we have a pretty good break. Bing's tournament, of course, was just marvelous this year. When the weather's good at Pebble Beach, there's no prettier place, but he's gambling every year. You can have icicles on your nose, or you can run into mud or anything. I've played in some great weather up at that place, but gee, when it's great up there, it's pretty.
Who are your favorites among the pros to win the tournament, Bob?
Well, you got to go with the former winners. These are the top guys, Harney and Casper and... And Doug Sanders, Nick, I don't know whether Jack Nicklaus has won this thing yet or not, but I think he did win it one year. But you've got to go with those cats. They know the course, but there's always these young guys like Johnny Pott, who won the Crosby tournament, one of the greatest wedge shots I've ever seen in my life. And so you got to kind of go with those fellas.
How is Bob Hope going to shoot?
Bob Hope will shoot his usual novel game. 5 cents a hundred. I'll be in there trying. But I enjoy it anyway, and I'll be playing with these guys and, teaching the pros, all these fellas. I usually give clinics on every hole.
Bob, what does golf do for you? You play a lot of golf.
Well, it just keeps me in shape. It's a thing that gives me a lot of relaxation. I don't know what I'd do without it. I'd probably have to go to a hot game of beanbag or something. it's a great game, and it's... introduced me to a lot of nice people.
Bob, I understand you're going to have an unusual caddy with an unusual outfit.
Yeah, they wanted the Air Force over in Thailand wanted to give me something different. And so they figured out a caddy's jacket that you would not believe. You have to see it to believe it. But it's got every possible instrument or everything for every emergency, including going to the bathroom. And it's got a telephone on it. It's got radio, Red Cross nurse in the back. And it's going to be worn by a pretty good caddy that really is great in the rough, Phyllis Diller.
Diller is a caddy?
She doesn't need that kind of a jacket, but she's going to have it this year. And I can't wait for her to see it and just get a few of her comments.
Well, Bob, good luck with the Bob Hope Desert Classic this year in Palm Springs.
Thank you very much.
Now a word about Autolite.
You're listening to the car that won the Indianapolis 500. A.J. Foyt's $50,000 Coyote Ford. A high-price racing car with a low-price ignition coil. It's an Autolite coil, almost a carbon copy of the one you buy, under $10. How come a low-price Autolite coil in a $50,000 racing car? Because there is no better coil, not at any price. Get Autolite ignition parts for your car, whatever kind you drive.
Sports fans who really know the score keep their dial set for a monitor every weekend.
Here's one of the 101 perfect strangers who's taste-tested the new 101. The cigarette a silly millimeter longer than the hundreds.
Listen, I may be a stranger, but nobody's perfect. Not even my mother.
Well, what does she think of the 101?
She thinks it's silly, but I think the taste makes a lot of sense. I'd like it even if it was 1 millimeter shorter.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
The 101. It tastes one better.
A perfect description. Almost.
In the Sunshine Days by Dick Glasser and Company. The fortune cookie forecast for tomorrow, sunshine, no matter what the weather is. Because it's Chinese New Year's, the year of the monkey. And unless somebody throws a you-know-what kind of wrench into the plans, there'll be a lot of whooping and hollering in San Francisco and New York's Chinatown. Watch out for men in monkey suits and fire-breathing dragons. And you're in luck if a Chinese owes you money. He'll pay you tomorrow because the Chinese always pay their debt on New Year's. NBC Monitor News coming up next. This is Kurt Gowdy.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. Come ahead.
Three men and a woman committed to nothing, committing everything. Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, Alec Guinness, Peter Ustinov. The Comedians. Burton, Taylor, The Comedians. Suggested for mature audiences.
The Comedians is now showing at Showcase Theaters. Check newspapers for listings.
Introducing the youngest, smallest, lightest, newest, strongest All-America team. The President's All-America team.
Fred Will, 11, Wisconsin.
Tony Hill, 10, California.
Paul Nicklaus, 17, New York.
Diane Nicholson, 14, Maryland.
These are just four of the 50,000 kids who won an award last year. To make the team this year at school, you have to run, jump, pull up, sit up, and throw a softball. Can you make the President's All-America team? You'll never know unless you try out. President's Council on Physical Fitness.
It's 37 degrees in Manhattan at the moment. Brad Crandall invites you to Radio Premiere Week, which is tomorrow on WNBC New York.